You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're looking ahead to Tuesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 11:50am with Gareth Topham, Andrew Mounts and Lord John Budden in the studio. We've got National Hunt Racing from Taunton, accompanied by All Weather Racing on the Fibre Sand at Southwell and on the Poly Track at Kempton. So plenty to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Gary Capewell. How are you, Gary?
All right, full of cold, full of cough, full of festive cheer.
Yeah, you sound happy.
No, I'm fine. I'm fine, Mark, sorry.
Good man. We're going to have a quick look through the Racing Post Monday jury.
Why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
And then we'll move on to Tuesday's action. This week's Monday jury in the Racing Post features William Hill's very own racing ambassador, Sir Anthony McCoy, which is nice.
Do you know
as well.
I was looking then? I couldn't work out who you were talking about. Yeah. Brian Cooper, the William Hill ambassador. Right, okay.
No, it is none other than Sir Anthony McCoy. So he obviously gives a little bit of insight into some of the JP runners over Christmas, so worth a read if you get a chance. First question, Gary, what can emerge from the World Hurdle Merck to worry Harry Fry's long walk winner?
It'll be interesting to see what happens to Nichols Canyon. I think he's going to run at Leopardstown over the Christmas period, and the Nicky Henderson horse, I think... Kotikova is also possibly going to be going over there as well. So, fortunately, we didn't see a great deal of the closing stages because what happened to Bally Optic and the Tizard horse as well. I mean, a lot will depend on, for me, I think, where the Mullins horse goes, or the Mullins horses go, whether Vroom Vroom Mag goes down this route, whether Four Inc would possibly even go down this route. Not just sure. I mean, the winner is still unbeaten, so, you know, it's very difficult to sort of crab him. But in terms of what happened, nobody's really entirely sure, unfortunately.
No. He's now favourite for the World Hurdle, you know what I mean, Harry, who is he's 2-1 now at the top of the market. Fahin 4-1, Nichols Canyon 6-1, 8-1, Yanworth. Mm. Little Rockefeller 12s, Vroom Vroom Mag 12s, 14s, Jeski and Shane's Hill, 14 Snow Falcon, 16s, bar those. It is a merc, isn't it? As the Racing Post puts it, there, you know what I mean. Harry's going to go to the race, but you don't really know what else is.
So. No, and that sort of doesn't make it easy from a betting point of view. I mean, Snow Falcon would, I think, probably beaten you know what I mean, Harry, if he had to come down at Newbury on his seasonary appearance. But he seems to be a horse that is quite good in the autumn and maybe the spring, but. He might well actually go off a bigger price than what he is now on the back of a couple of poor runs in Ireland in the mud, which he won't really enjoy.
Mm. What's your mark out of 10 for the chasing debuts of Bouvardaire and York Hill?
I think they'd both get a similar sort of mark. Bouvardaire probably both an 8. Bouvardaire probably should get more, but if it was just on jumping, he would. But the fact is, I mean, he was getting weight from a couple of horses in a small free runner race. Okay, that's not really his fault, but. You know, as an overall bit of form, it doesn't really mean a great deal, does it? But I was impressed with how he jumped. Obviously, reading in the paper today, he and LT Hall will be kept apart probably until Cheltenham. That's if they both go for the same race as well, which might not actually happen. York Hill, as AP rightly points out, jumped out a little bit to his left, which would be a slight concern, perhaps. But we could just put down to that being his chasing debut, a little bit green, etc. And... yeah, hopefully he won't do that next time out, but they both get an 8.
Okay. 8 all round, then, and that's should the fog race at Haydock have been run? It's causing real debate.
Yeah, well, I didn't see it, but then again, nobody did.
Yeah.
Probably not. I think if it probably wasn't a Channel 4 race, I don't think it would have been.
No.
It's the perfect honest. Not perfect and honest answer to that. I mean, there's a lot of debate about it in the paper today, which I thought was hilarious to read, to be perfectly honest. I had a right laugh reading that. But, I mean, that's the first photo we've seen, isn't it? That photo on page 4 and 5 of Monday's Racing Post.
Yep.
That's the, I mean, that wasn't in the paper on Sunday, so I didn't even know that had happened. But, yeah, I don't think it... I think Stuart mentioned it makes the correct point that it wasn't really a great advert for racing, because he couldn't see anything. He could barely see anything on the pull-up, and if the jockeys hadn't gone to the right positions, we'd have never known what would have happened, or no. Who was first, second, or third, etc.
No, I was on William Hill Racing Radio on Saturday when that happened.
Look about the blind leading the blind.
Yeah, well, yeah. And the commentary was... I know it doesn't advertise racing very, very well, but the commentary was actually pretty funny.
It was hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh, it was absolutely hilarious, yeah.
Doesn't look good for racing, though, does it?
And no, it
anybody
wasn't.
Backing on distances and so on and so forth, they can't...
Well,
can't, yeah, all that kind
was
of
it
stuff.
A high-five race?
It was, yeah.
Oh, no.
But obviously it wasn't a high-five winner because... it might have been. Nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
Anyway, let's move on. Who's your money on for the King George? A bit of significant news for the King George.
Yeah.
Thistlecrack will take on Q-Card on the 26th of December.
Well, that market is really quite murky now over the last few days, isn't it? Because before, when Cooningree we knew wasn't going to run, you could easily thought that backing T for two each way was not a bad sort of way of going about things. Mm-hmm. But now I'm not so sure. I mean, how we price it up now? Q Card 4-5, Thistlecrack 13-8. I'd probably back Q Card at those prices ahead of Thistlecrack, I must admit.
Yeah.
It would only be a selection rather than the bet, I have to say. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see what tactics they try and employ with Thistlecrack, and indeed, I suppose the same with Q Card now that Cooningree's not there. I mean, T for two may well probably bowl the long out in front, but I would have been happy to back him each way at those sort of prices if Thistlecrack wasn't running. But as he is, well, you're only really playing potentially for one place, I think. So there's no real value in backing anything each way because you've only got that one place as far as I'm concerned, unless anything happens to the front two in the market. I don't think there's any sort of value in really backing anything else each way. I just have to back Q-Card, I'm afraid.
Yeah, 4-5 at the top of the betting at the moment, Q-Card. Thistlecrack now 13-8, 10-1, bar those two. Personally, whilst I respect the decision to run Thistlecrack in that race, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't go that way myself. I'd go Felton. No. I'd go Felton with Thistlecrack. Q Card can keep his bonus ideas going in the King George.
Yep.
And then slowly bring Thistlecrack to the ball, kind of like they did with Cooningree, where you've got maybe Denman Chase and Cotswolds.
They'd have that option. All the Cotswold Chase, as you point out, at Cheltenham on trials day. That's exactly how I would have done it as well, to be perfectly honest. But you know, it's nice to see them actually going. It's two of the big guns in the market. I mean, they are the front two in the market for the Gold Cup. It's nice to see them taking each other on.
Yeah, fair play to them. It's a bold move, isn't it? Imagine if Thistlecrack goes and wins. I know then you know you've got a real Gold Cup prospect out of him. But you've scuppered your £1 million bonus with Q-Card chances.
This is true. This is true.
It's an interesting one.
Not all greedy like you, though.
I'll do anything for £1 million, Gary. You know that.
Anything?
Is Native River your idea of the Welsh Grand National winner?
He is. He's actually my idea of the Gold Cup winner, to be perfectly honest. Right. I backed him each way for the Gold Cup before he won the Hennessy Huge after timing there, obviously. But I did mention that on William Hill Racing Radio before that. Because it doesn't look as though the ground's going to be quite so soft, is it? It might be a bit tacky, but I don't think it's going to be too bad, the ground. We've got a bit of a dry spell on the way, haven't we, as well? So, it's been dry most of the last couple of months, really, hasn't it? It's been unseasonally sort of warm, hasn't it? Dry as well. So, yeah, the ground isn't going to be quite so bad as it usually is. It's usually a real sort of slog, isn't it?
Yeah.
If it does come up heavy, I don't think they'll run him anyway, to be perfectly honest.
If it comes up heavy,
he won't be running.
No.
I mean, the last Welsh National winner to win and carry top weight, I think, was Carvel's Hill. That might be wrong. But he carried 12 stone when he won in 1991, I think it was. Similar sort of horse, because he'll just probably try and go out and make all the running Native River. I was really impressed with him in the Hennessy, because they came and had a go at him a few different horses at various times, and, you know, they couldn't get by, and that was his first run of the season. Obviously, you know, he's still got a bit of improvement probably to come. So, I think he's definitely going to be the winner. And it was, 11-12 Carvel's Hill carried when he made all the running in 1991. And he was one of the, there's not many horses that have carried 11 stone or above since.
No. highest weight since then is synchronised, who obviously went on to win the Gold Cup. So
yeah.
With 11 stone 6.
A nice bit of symmetry.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. Let's move on to the final question then. What else is jingling your bells for the festive racing feast?
Can't remember the last time
my bells got jingled, to be perfectly honest. Well, obviously the King George now. The start of ITV's coverage of racing. I'm looking forward to that on New Year's Day. And I'll be going to the William Hill Darts Championship on my birthday on the 29th. So I'm looking forward to that as well.
Yeah. Happy birthday for the 29th, if I don't see you before. That's the Monday jury then for another week.
We've
got some races to preview.
Oh.
Just one bit of news as well, Gary. Don Cossack might be back in February, which is
Oh, he's going to third, is he?
He's going
the King Lot Bray.
No, the Red Mills chase at Gorham Park.
Okay. Fair enough. Yeah, I hadn't read that actually in the racing posters yet. But yeah, obviously it's all very much one day at a time with him, as you'd expect. And yeah, be good to have him back.
Yeah.
Hopefully he's the same sort of horse, because him back in there with the Tizard, as I'm going to call them, the Tizard Trio rather than Duo.
Yeah.
It makes for a very exciting race, but you can throw Jack Adam into the mix as well. Koningry potentially as well. Hopefully he gets back to his best. Well, gets back onto the track again as well. Obviously he's having one or two issues. So, yeah, plenty to look forward to.
Yeah, imagine if all them stay with us in March. it'd be superb.
Rarely happens, unfortunately, doesn't it? That's the problem we have.
Well, it's half the battle, isn't it? Just getting them to the race, let alone winning it. So
it is.
We'll leave that there. Let's move on to Tuesday's racing. Gary has four races prepared for us. We'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, let's spin through these. The 2:30 at Southwell is where we start. A 7 furlong handicap for the 3-year-olds and older. We've got a field of 14 of them set to go to post for this action on the fibre sand. Gary, who do you like in what looks a relatively open race?
Yeah, we got plenty of sort of the regulars, really, haven't we? We've got actually Thilbert. I mean, Half a Sixpence won here before. Likewise, Pearl Scepter, Showboating, Jack's Avengers won here in the past. Zaim has Boots and Spurs, and of course Captain Revelation as well, who won here a fortnight ago, actually beating Boots and Spurs. Boots and Spurs was subsequently finished 5th here on his most recent outing just last week. I'm going to go for one that hasn't actually won here at the track, though, but he's bred to run well here. The Mick Appleby-trained Mythcal, who won at Newmarket in September, finished down the field at Chelmsford on his most recent outing, comes back down in trip here, which will help, I think. As I say, he's bred to go on the surface, and Mick Appleby, obviously, he's got a couple in the race, but he's got a very good record here at the track as well. So, yeah, I'm going to take a chance. I don't usually do that about a horse that hasn't run here before, but simply because he's trained by Mick Appleby, who has got a 5% gallop at home, I'm hopeful he will be okay on it. And as I say, on breeding, he should be.
Mm. Myth Carl then for Gary in the 2:30 at Southwell. On to the 2:50 at Taunton next. This is a confined handicap hurdle. Class 3 event over 2 miles. We've got a field of 7 to go to post here. Gary, who'd you like in there?
Yeah, it's the conditions of this race, because not many, they haven't won for a while, any of these horses. It's part of the conditions of the race. So, they're not regular winners at the moment. Hintermint used to be trained by Nick Williams. He's gradually got better with each start thus far for Harry Fry. He wasn't beaten very far over slightly further than this here on his most recent outing. He's got strong claims. Likewise, Ascendant, who wasn't beaten too far at Huntingdon on his most recent outing and has gone back to the yard of Johnny Fowley, I think he's quite interesting. But I'm going to take a bit of a chance with one here, who ran well at Plumpton on his penultimate outing. He was disappointing subsequently at Weatherby, but he's been off a little while since, so I think there was probably something amiss that day. The top weight regulation for Neil King. Neil King had his horses in fair form. Richard Johnson takes the mount, so it's an interesting jockey booking as well. I can't remember him teaming up with the Neil King guard on too many occasions in the past. So, yeah, I'll take a chance on regulation in that 2:50 contest.
regulation for Gary there. Then on to the 3 o'clock next, back on the fibre sand at Southwell for this one. 1.75 miles is the trip for this three-year-old and older handicap. We've got a field of 7 to go to post here. Western Prince down at the bottom of the weights is pretty interesting. Used to be with John Gosden, now trained by Michael Appleby. He's had one start for the yard. It was in winning one at Musselburgh. You mentioned in the earlier race about the gallop at home being fibre sand. Similar story here with Western Prince, do you think?
Yeah, I think it could well be. Kate Cross, I think, from memory, have a fair record on the fibre sand as well. Yeah, this is obviously this horse's fibre sand AB. The hood goes back on. Open to a good bit of improvement as well. Serenity now likes it here at the track. He's been running over hurdles of late as well. It was a long time since he last ran. He hasn't been seen on the flat for quite some time as well, but he's a bit of a course regular. Might just improve a touch for the outing, albeit Brian Ellison's horses are in good form. Safira Menina won at Kempton in November and has been running okay since. Didn't get the clearest of runs through at Lingfield on his most recent outing. I'm going to go for Katie Gale, though. There's another horse who likes it here. Previous course and distance winner. Has actually won over hurdles here now as well, this horse. Finished down the field at Kempton on a first run on the flat for a while, most recently finishing in 9th on that particular occasion. Will be much happier coming back here. So the yard, the Apple Yard, still a little bit, perhaps, I don't know, not exactly bagging them in left, right and centre, but obviously have such a good record here. So Katie Gale, the pick for me in the 3 o'clock.
Katie Gale then for Gary there. And the final race we look at is the 4.10 at Kempton. This is a 1 mile nursery on the poly track. Obviously, 2 year olds in action there for 14 of them to go to post here, Gary. And we've got a relatively lightly raced 2 year old from the Simon Dow Yard in the shape of Eminem, who has run pretty well at Kempton the last twice.
You a big fan?
Of Eminem?
Mm.
Yeah, I don't mind Eminem.
I was talking about the sweets. this horse won.
The peanut ones are the best.
Yeah, oh, they're different gravy, they are. Different gravy. One here. The draw has got to be a concern, though, isn't it? Out in stall 14 over a mile here. Ooh, dear. It's, a bit of a concern for me. I think Suffragette City is likely to be overpriced. I think she's a lot better than what she's shown on her last couple of outings. So keep an eye out for her. Washington Blue. The cheap pieces go on her for the first time. Finish 4th at Lingfield most recently, going up in trip back up to a mile, I think will help this one. As I say, Martin Harley riding for Clive Cox. But I think I'm going to have to go for the top one, African Beat. A winner at Wolverhampton in November, finished 4th on her nursery debut here. That was 3 weeks ago. Probably paid for racing too close to a pretty strong pace. Likely to improve a little bit more. One of the few that's not had that many runs, so could improve a good bit more. Well drawn in stall 5. I actually think the danger might well be the second, or the number 2 on the race card at least, suspect Package, who makes his handicap debut. He was 5th in a Wolverhampton maiden when last seen. He goes into nursery company for the first time, and obviously he's trained by James Fanshawe, who's got such a good record on the poly track at Kempton. So that has to be respected, but I still think there's more to come from African Beat, so she'll be the pick in the 4.10.
Okay, good stuff. African Beat then in the 4.10. As usual, Gary, quick summary before you go. Just confirm your selections for us.
Yeah, in the 2.30 at Southall Mithcarl. In the 3 o'clock, Katie Gale for the same stable jockey combination. In the 2.50 at Taunton, which is obviously in between those first two at Southall, regulation. And in the 4.10 at Kempton, African Beat.
Superb. Thank you very much, Gary. Good luck and enjoy it on Tuesday.
Will do. Merry Christmas for everybody.
There you go. Very nice. Merry Christmas to yourself, Gary. That's his thoughts on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 11.50am. Gareth Topham, Andrew Mount and John Budden, the team in the studio. It's Taunton, Southwell and Kempton, so plenty to get stuck into. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Tuesday's action.
High Five is live at William Hill now. If your selection wins a High Five race by 5 or more lengths, you'll get a 25% bonus on your winnings. And if you back the runner-up and it's beaten 5 or more lengths, you'll get your money back as a free bet. The offer applies to races with 6 or more runners at all national hunt meetings on a Friday and Saturday. All National Hunt races shown live on terrestrial TV and selected meetings during the rest of the week. High Five from William Hill. Terms and conditions apply. Visit williamhill.com or the William Hill app for more details.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.